This morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, reminding you that 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 has to do with the ministry of God's Spirit, what is called the gifts of the Spirit. And those of you that are following along in your own text this morning, your own Bibles, it will also mention again the word gifts. But you will notice in the English translations the word gifts is in italics because it's not in the original. We have attempted to give you a literal English translation right from the original language so that you can see exactly what it is saying. But remembering that chapters 12, 13, and 14 have to do with the ministry gifts or the abilities and capacities of the Holy Spirit. The chapter 12, Paul said that there's one Spirit of God who ministers in various ways through various people, and yet it's all one. We also saw that this is not of personal choice. This is according to God's will that He distributes as He feels fit to minister through and to each person. We also saw at the end of chapter 12 that Paul says that we are to seek the greater of the gifts. And he listed them for us, apostles, prophets, and teachers. Those are gifts that require the ministry of the Word of God, apostles, prophets, and teachers. All of the other ministries of God have to do with what are called sign gifts. Gifts to be a sign, a physical sign, a manifestation of some kind in order to introduce or prove a message that someone is giving, that message being from God. But, he says, I will show you a more excellent way, and that would be chapter 13. The more excellent way is on love. They were seeking to be spiritual. He said, you want to be spiritual? Seek agape, the agape love that comes from God. Agape means to be concerned about someone's spiritual welfare. Be concerned about what God wants. Be concerned about the spiritual welfare of the people around you. That's the highest calling and the only acceptable motive for everything that we do. We saw the effectiveness of love in verses 1 through 3. If you don't have agape, it doesn't make a difference what you have or who you are. It amounts to nothing. In verses 4 through 7 of chapter 13, we saw the expression of love. All that love does and does not do. It is not a definition, it is a description. Then we saw in verses 8 through 13 the endurance of love. Even though there is faith, hope, and love, these three, there's one that abides forever, and that is love. That brings us to chapter 14 for today. Reading verses 1 through 5, a little translation for you. Pursue the love. I'm going to mention some interesting word meanings for you just so you can form the picture in your mind is exactly what Paul is saying. The word for pursue is a command form. It is the Greek word that means to chase. It is also the exact same word that is translated persecution in the Bible. So it depends how the word is used. To pursue the things of the Lord, you are to chase the things of the Lord. But when it's applied to Satan, what Satan does to Christians, it's translated persecution. And I think that's interesting because what Satan does is he chases people. He pursues people. He cannot overtake us. He just chases us in order to cause us to grow weary, to tire out, and make a free will choice to quit. He pursues. He chases. Here is the command by Paul, pursue the love. And continually be fervent. Have a fervent desire for the spiritual things. Some of your English texts say the spiritual gifts. It is literally the spiritual things. But rather, in order that you may prophesy. The word translated rather literally has to do with especially, more than anything, that you may prophesy. For the one speaking with a tongue, literally the word language, is not speaking to men, but is speaking to God. For no one is hearing him, but he speaks with reference to his spirit, he speaks mysteries. But the one who prophesies is speaking to men. Development, the word edification in the English is literally the word development or literally building up. It's a construction term, to build a house. Edification means to develop or to build up. So the one who is prophesying is speaking to men, edification or building up, and encouragement and comfort. The one speaking with a tongue is building up himself, but the one who is prophesying is building up the church. Now I wish all of you to speak with respect to languages or tongues, but rather, or especially, or more than this, that in order that you may prophesy, for greater is the one who prophesies than the one speaking in tongues or languages, except he may interpret, in order that the church might receive edification, development, or building up. Now, verses 1 through 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is entitled The Priority of Ministry. The priority of ministry, gifts of God's Spirit. Verse 1, we're going to take the command. Verses 2 through 4, we are going to take the contrast. There are two contrasts that Paul gives to us as examples of his command and reasons for his command. And thirdly, in verse 5, we're going to study the concept. So we have the command in verse 1, the contrasts in verses 2 through 4, and the concept in verse 5. He gives the command. It is actually a twofold command. Pursue the love. Secondly, and continuously, fervently desire spiritual things. But there's a third clause to this. It's like a disclaimer, a clarification. But in order that you may prophesy, let me remind you of our three terms that fit in to our text. First of all, the word prophecy, or to prophesy, or prophet, comes from a compound Greek word that means to be a spokesperson or a spokesman for God. It literally means to speak in front of or speak to people. A spokesperson for God. A prophet is somebody who spoke the word of God to people. In the Old Testament times, the prophets came as God gave them his word. In fact, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 tells us that God spoke through the prophets of old time, but has upon the last segment of these days spoken to us in a Son. So it is interesting that Jesus Christ is the last prophet. He is the prophet which was to come. God spoke in times past through all of the other prophets, but Jesus Christ is the final prophet from which, through which God would speak. Interesting, the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and chapters 22 tells us that prophecy was now in written form. John received prophecy, he wrote it down. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 at the end of verse 1 says that the Holy Scripture is now prophecy. So that prophecy is now in written form according to Scripture. So when we hold up our Bibles and we have the completed Bible, we call it the canon of Scripture, we have the complete expression of God through the prophets and through the prophet Jesus Christ. There's no more. So who is a prophet today? A prophet today is someone who has a wide audience, a wide area of proclaiming God's word, which is all prophecy, proclaiming God's word to God's people. A prophet is somebody who proclaims the word of God for the development of the church, as we will see in context as Paul is presenting it. Ministering God's Word, and if you get anything out of this morning, this is the message of 1 Corinthians 14 as he is correcting the Christians in Corinth because they thought they were being spiritual by speaking in tongues and getting into all the experience, ministry, gifts of God's Spirit. And he says the most important thing to do when you get together as believers is somebody present the Word of God for the development, the edification, the building up of the church of God. Not for experiences. And I would, if you're note-taking, I would say to you, if you have an encyclopedia at home, you might look up the pagan mystery religions. The pagan mystery religions. Very prominent in Corinth. In fact, that's why in chapter 12 he says, however you were led out from following the dumb idols. Because in Corinth, they would actually, in their heathen religious services that they had in Corinth, they would actually come in the door and they would begin to drink alcohol so that they could release, so that they could be free. In fact, for them, spiritual ecstasy was arriving at a point where you would lose consciousness. And so they drank alcohol and they sang and they worshipped until they were delirious because they thought that was being spiritual. And I think that's interesting because in Corinth, from the pagan mystery religions, that's what the Christians would do. They would bring in some of these emotional, ecstatic experiences into the church and they thought that they were being spiritual. And he's saying, no, this is a correctional letter to a carnal church. Not instructional, it is correctional. He's going to tell them what they have done and are doing. But he says, pursue love and fervently desire spiritual things. But rather, especially, and your focus should be that you should prophesy. Our second term is the word tongues. As we shared with you back in chapter 12, the word tongues in Greek is the Greek word for languages. Tongues is not a babbling noise or an ecstatic utterance. It is literally a language. We saw the only instance, the only example of tongues in the Bible is Acts chapter 2. When at Pentecost, the people in Jerusalem heard the disciples speak everyone in their own language, their own dialect in which they were born. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to see that Paul's going to say that tongues is a sign for the unbeliever. So it is an ability that God gives a believer to speak a language to a non-believer, a language that the believer would not know, and God would give them the ability to speak the mighty things of God. And it's a sign to them. As they would see this miracle, they'd say, what's going on here? I hear the mighty works of God in my own language. And then there would be the explanation. That's the third terminology. The word interpretation in English, the Greek word, literally means explanation. It does not mean to translate. Never has, never will. It explains why you hear God speaking in your own language as a sign to you. That's very important. So the command is to pursue the love. Fervently desire spiritual things, but for the purpose that you might prophesy, that is, that the Word of God might be ministered to you. Verses 2 through 4, there are two contrasts mentioned. The first one is in verses 2 and 3. It has to do with substance. With substance. The reason why prophecy ought to be the priority amongst the believer, because while they were speaking in tongues, as they called it, they were not speaking to men, but they were speaking to God. I will point out to you a technicality which is very important. He is using a present tense verb to show them what they are presently doing. They are speaking in what they call tongues. In the pagan mystic religions, they would also speak in tongues. And there are books out, by the way, that actually give you a history of speaking in tongues down through the years. Many occults today, many cult groups speak in tongues today, what we call tongues. It's not the same tongues as the Bible. In case you haven't caught on yet, what we as Christians experience and call tongues within the body of Christ is not the same thing the Bible's talking about. Where in the body of Christ today, tongues is associated with an emotional, ecstatic experience that you have. Now, that's the same thing. If you ever look in your encyclopedia on the pagan mystic religions, that's exactly what they did. They tried to get so emotional and so hysterical that they would have this out-of-the-body experience and bypass the mind. The brain would shut off and they would just get into this ecstasy. And it's experienced in the church today, just like it was in Corinth. When in Corinth, present tense, when they spoke in tongues, as they called it, they were speaking to God and not to men. That's not the way it should be. When God speaks in a language, it is a language that a person understands and knows, and it is God ministering to that person the mighty things of God. They were speaking into the air. They were using this ecstatic language experience to have some kind of a worship experience with God. Next week we will see in verse 9, they were speaking into the air. And verse 15 tells us that they were bypassing their mind, and that's what Paul was correcting them. He says, not only will I pray with my spirit, but I'm going to pray with my mind too. You don't check your brains in at the door. They thought that spirituality was gauged by how you went beyond the mind. The mind doesn't limit you. You don't think. You get released and caught up into this ecstasy. He says, for when he is speaking by way of his spirit, in verse 2, that he is speaking mysteries. And it's a mystery to everybody. You're speaking into the air, you're talking to God, you're using this ecstatic language, and it's a mystery to everybody, but for you it's in your spirit and you're trying to be very spiritual and reach some kind of a spiritual ecstasy. But in contrast to that, verse 3, but to prophesy, that is to minister God's word, it does three things. Number one, it's for edification, which is the word to build a house. Development. A person who prophesies or ministers God's word does it so that people can be developed and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Secondly, it is for encouragement, according to verse 3. Encouragement. To be encouraged in the things of the Lord. To be encouraged to come to Christ. To be encouraged about what the Lord has done for us. And thirdly, to be comforted. To receive His comfort over the guilt. To receive His comfort in the midst of grief. Folks, this is called the good news. It's here for to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to be encouraged in Him, and to be comforted in Him, not for condemnation. So the contrast is that the one who is speaking with tongues in Corinth is speaking into the air, and they're speaking to God and not to men. Second contrast, verse 4, has to do with development. First one had to do with substance. There's no substance in what Corinth, the Christians in Corinth were doing. They were speaking into the air and experiencing an ecstatic experience rather than the focus on the development of the word, being developed in the ministry of God's word. In development, verse 4, the one who is speaking in a tongue, present tense in Corinth, is building up or edifying himself. But the one who is prophesying edifies or builds up the church. Look at the contrast. He is not stating, this is not instructional. That is not what tongues is for. It is not for edifying yourself. It is what they are doing. I have found this to be true over the years. That when people misrepresent spiritual things for emotional things, and thinking that emotional things are actually spiritual things, it all centers on yourself. Even in our worship. And for the longest time, I was stuck in a rut in worship. That's why I like to go back to some of the old hymns, because it's a family worshiping together. Some of the choruses, it's a family worshiping together. We've had people in our church that would sit there and individually, within themselves, try to get caught up in some kind of have some kind of worship experience between them and the Lord, getting caught up in some kind of spiritual ecstasy, and they just couldn't do it. It's like, gee, this doesn't do it for me, you know? They're sitting there, you can tell, they're just really trying. They have no concept that they're with other Christians. And we're all adding one voice in our praise to God. Remember in chapter 13, love does not seek the things of itself. It's not for us. It's for Him. We worship Him and we pray to Him in order to deposit our prayer requests into His hands for Him to fulfill His will. We're here for His Spirit through His Word to change us and transform us. We're here for His purposes. That's what it's all about. But the emotional experiences get you so into yourself, and you try to reach a level of ecstasy with it. The one who is speaking in the tongues is edifying, developing, building up himself. The one who is prophesying is building up and developing the church. That's what it's all about. Receiving the ministry of the Word of God is the focal point for all believers. If God performs a miracle in your life, if God performs a special thing in your life, I think that's great. God can heal you. God can do anything and everything that He wants to do. But the main issue for a believer is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not experiences. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul contrasted the two between faith and sight, and faith and miracles. A Christian doesn't go by that anymore. We live by faith and not by sight. We don't have to see God do anything. He doesn't even have to do anything for us, because faith is trusting Him without any feeling or any physical thing that He might do for us. Verse 5 is the concept in summarizing this whole thing. He's basically saying, don't get me wrong, verse 5. I desire that you all speak with tongues. In fact, later on, he's going to say, I can speak in tongues better than you all. So this is not somebody who says, I can't speak in tongues and I don't believe in it. He's saying, I can speak in tongues more than you all, later on in the chapter. So he's telling them, I desire that you all speak with tongues. But rather, or especially, your focus should be is in order that you might prophesy. Minister God's Word. He says, I'm not trying to take away any experiences or ministry of God's Spirit in your life whatsoever, but in the church there is a priority. The ministry of the Word of God, not experiences. That's the priority. And the reason for this is greater in the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues or languages, except someone or he should interpret in order that the church might be edified, built up, or developed. Now, in this concept, it is greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, because the one who prophesies ministers God's Word. Speaking in tongues is a sign to non-believers. We will see that in verses 20 to 25. It is a sign to non-believers. Is it important? Yes. Is it a function of God? Yes. Does God have a purpose for it? Yes. But since we're all believers, we don't need God to do that for us here. We don't need somebody to stand up and speak in some ecstatic utterance and then somebody else translate it for us so we can get a message from God. He knows English, folks. I realize that it's more exciting going that way. In fact, I have been in church service. See, I presented all this to you this morning under a flag over me that says guilty. Because I used to be in meetings where I would lead people into these ecstatic experiences that we called being spiritual. And when one person would get up and just come out with some ecstatic tongue and then somebody else translated for us, everybody would get excited. But when somebody got up in English to give the Word of God, they just went, oh, this is boring. One was sensational, the other was just factual. And so people started leaning more towards the sensational because the study of the Word of God was too boring, not as entertaining. Greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues unless he should interpret. And there's our word where we get our word hermeneutics from, right from the Greek word that means explanation. It does not mean translation. Explanation as to why that person heard you speak the mighty works of God to them in their own language and you have no knowledge of how to speak that language. What does this mean, they said in Acts chapter 2. How do we hear every one of us in his own language the mighty works of God? Peter then got up and explained it to them. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and he explained to them. This is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, the pouring out of God's Spirit, and it is a sign to you. And what did they do? They repented. That's what it's for. So the concept is, Paul was not trying to deprive them of any ministry that God had for them. He was putting it in priority for the believer. In the church, the priority in the church is the ministry of the Word of God, period. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, period. That's how you grow, not by experiences, but by the transformation of the mind. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That doesn't come with practicing concepts. It comes with the Holy Spirit taking God's Word and changing our attitude, frame of mind, outlook on life, function in life, little by little as we gather together around His Word. That's what it's all about. It's boring. It's tedious. It takes a long time. It comes in parts. But it's God's way. And Paul is telling them, you think you're spiritual. In fact, as we will see next week, Paul is going to say that you're speaking into the air. And if nobody knows, has any idea what you're talking about, as you're speaking into the air with this ecstatic language, if no one can understand what you're talking about, you will be a barbarian to them and they will be a barbarian to you. Interesting, it is for the word barbarian, it is the word barbar. Because the Greeks said, anybody that cannot speak Greek speaks barbar. That's all it is. It's just one syllable after another. It means absolutely nothing. It's like goo-goo. What does it mean? You know. So Paul says, if you're speaking into the air and you're speaking to God with this thing that you call tongues and having these ecstatic experiences, you'll be like a barbarian. Nobody knows what you're doing. Nobody knows what you're talking about. It's just for your own personal edification. It's not what it's for. So Paul sets down the priority Next week we will continue with this as God sets the priorities for the church, what the church should be doing in understanding some of these functions. And it's very relative to us today. The body of Christ today still does not know the difference between emotional energy and spiritual energy. Christians today are still opting for the sensationalism and for the entertainment and for the emotional experience, rather than the tedious, arduous task of week by week, day by day, exposing ourselves to God's Word and allowing God's Spirit to slowly but permanently change us as people. And I don't know about you, but that's more important to me than to be entertained or to feel good. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your great faithfulness, not only to minister to our hearts for development, but also to correct us, also to guide us and encourage us in the way that we should go, and to give us that comfort that even though we wrestle with the things of the flesh, yet we trust by faith that Your Spirit is ministering to our spirit, blessing us and developing us in the things of Christ, that You are changing and transforming our minds as we expose ourselves to Your Word and the ministry of Your Spirit. Help us to see what the priority is, and also help us to see how Satan deceives and tricks the church into emotional experiences that are not spiritual, that distract and take people away from the development process, the growth process. Lord, we pray that as we think on these things, as we learn about these things, that by Your Spirit You would give us the understanding that we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.